Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God. Y'all glad to be in church this morning? Hopefully you are. Hope nobody got here by gunpoint or anything like that. Y'all wanted to be here. Was anybody dragged here forcefully? If you do, don't raise your hand. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out. I want to go back into this message that I was on last week. If this is your first time to be here at Living Waters Church, I welcome you. I'm glad you're here. If you like what you hear today and you want to go back and follow up and see where it's come from and what we've been preaching, because I like to preach series, well, you can go on to iTunes or any of the podcasting formats, type in The Waterhole, it'll come up. All of the services, our Sunday morning services, are all there. You can just follow along. Please give me a good review. And if you didn't like it, just give me a good review. It helps. It makes me feel better, if nothing else. And so I get enough good reviews, well, then they'll keep boosting us up there. So if you know friends, you know anybody out there that needs to some encouraging word in their life, well, get on your Facebook or whatever kind of social media you use and tell them about it and, you know, help promote things. Amen? It's funny because we got people listening from all over the world. 47 countries listen to the Waterhole broadcast. I don't know why, other than God. Or they just like to listen to somebody that is, you know, a little different. But it's got to be God, because I've never been to all those countries. So anyway, that's cool. I like that. I like that you never know until we get to heaven or what maybe God has done in somebody's life. That's going to be cool when somebody comes up and says, oh, you know, listen to the message. And that's going to be cool. And y'all all have a part of that, amen, because we're all in this together. This is a team effort. Everybody say, I'm part of the team. Look at the person beside you and say, you know you are part of the team. So anyway, praise God for that. But also the second thing I want to tell y'all this morning is this is our first Sunday. This is our communion Sunday. We're going to be having communion here this morning. Everyone is welcome to have communion with us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then we more than welcome you to be here with us and to partake of communion with us today, because it's all about the body of Christ. Amen? So anyway, go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. This is where we've been. I'm going to do a little bit of a short review and then get on into the thing that I really feel on my heart this morning. You know, as I minister and as I'm sharing this word to you this morning, I realize that some of y'all have been walking with Jesus for a long time. You have a long relationship with the Lord. Some of you have a short relationship. You just now are trying to get things figured out. Some of you just right in the middle. We're all in different places in life. So when I'm preaching this message, I want to challenge you, no matter where you are in your life. I want to challenge you in your relationship with the Lord. Because if you've gotten to the place in your relationship where you're like, okay, well, I know Jesus. I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I've asking to be my Lord and Savior. I got baptized, you know, I've done the deals. I've walked through the little, you know, rituals of the church. I go to church once in a while, you know, but that's where your relationship's at. It's just kind of blah, you know, mundane. You are a Christian. You'll stand up. I mean, just like, you know, the horrible thing that happened here the other day, the shooting that took place in Oregon, the shooter asked him, what was the religion? You know, at that moment in life, I would be proud to stand up and say, man, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. I mean, you know, it's coming to the time, and I'm just telling you, the church, and I'm not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. It's under attack. We're under attack more than we've ever been. And I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud that I profess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But folks, we got to learn that he wants more of us, not us giving up things. He wants more of us because he wants to tell more people about him. I sat last night with tears in my eyes watching the Billy Graham crusade. Those of you that have listened, you know me for a while, I mean, I was listening to Billy Graham when I was a child. My grandparents, you know, they knew I was trouble. And so they'd make me watch Billy Graham every Sunday with them, you know. And then when I see those old crusades on and he's preaching in some stadium and he, you know, and you know, I love the man. I love his ministry. He's one of the most honest, true men of God that there is. He's stayed with, you know, never faltered in his walk with the Lord. But, you know, I'm telling you, man, I know preachers that can preach better than Billy Graham. They can throw down a message, blow smoke, man. They can, woo, they can get some emotion going. They can preach like you've never seen anybody preach. But that man would stand up there and preach, and then he gives that altar call, and they just go, and then as the choir sings, just as I am, and his hair's blowing, and everything's gone, and, you know, and then people just respond because they're hungry. It's the power of God, the Spirit of God. And folks, we no longer can just walk in our natural abilities, walk in just the strength of our own intestinal fortitude, of our determination. We can't walk like that anymore. We have to walk in supernatural power. That supernatural power to help forgive our enemies. That supernatural power to walk in love when you don't want to walk in love. That supernatural power to help you to have wisdom in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships, of what you're supposed to do. Because, folks, we live in a time that man, there was ever devil and hell unloosed on this earth to come into our lives and to destroy us. I'm telling you, there's more stumbling blocks today. You can get in trouble. Man, just go on the internet and try to look up anything, and you can get in trouble in just a click. You can go get caught up in talk radio and get so angry about everything the government's going on that you've got distracted and you're missing the flow of everything in life. Yes, we should be angry. Yes, we need to vote. Yes, we need to stand up. So why this church does what we do. But I'm telling you, you can't get distracted. We got to follow the Lord, but we need supernatural ability. Everybody say supernatural ability. Man, you've got to have it, because if you're dependent for your relationship that you're going to love your wife all based upon how good of a person you are, folks, you're going to find those times in life that you're stressed, your marriage is stressed, your life is stressed. You're going to need supernatural ability to help you. And I'm not talking about you ran into a burning bush. I'm not talking about that, you know, the lightning strike came down from the mountain. I'm talking about the assurance of God on the inside of you, that you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's telling you what to do, and he's empowering you to do it. Doesn't mean you go get your bed sheet out, cut it in half, get you a long robe on, and get the big family Bible and a tambourine and go out. I'm not talking about that craziness. You know, I don't care. You can go handle snakes if you want to, but that ain't my deal. I ain't messing with a snake. I shoot it. You ain't never going to find no snake in here, man. I don't like snakes. All right? So what I'm trying to say to you is we got to have the power to walk in that. We cannot walk in our own natural abilities. You're going to get defeated every time. You've got to have the power of God in your life. So I've been preaching this message, and I title it The Mantle of God, because God says that he specifically gives each of us a robe, a mantle, an anointing, whatever you want to call it, to live your life. You may think your life is a mess. You may think that you were born in the wrong place, or you were a mistake that happened in the back of a Chevy, or, you know, you whatever may go through your mind. But the truth of the matter is God knew right where you are. You were born in this time. You were born in this season. You were born to that family you were born to. You were fearfully and wonderfully created in your mother's womb, and God knows right where you're at, and he wants to help you walk through it. Come on now. Preaching good. We all want to take our Christianity. We want to take the power that of the gospel, and depending on how charismatic you are, how Pentecostal you are, you want to take that ability and you want to then take it and turn it into that. You're going to change your life to be exactly like you wanted it. Hear me now. You're trying to get God to be your genie in the lamp that you can rub, and you just want God to make your life like you think it should be. But let me tell you something, church. God knows better than you do. God knows better than you do. He knows what's coming down the road that you can't see, because he knows your end from your beginning. Not your beginning from your end. I know where I've been. and I know where I want to go to, but I don't know my end. Y'all with me? I can't see my life from the end to the beginning like God can. And God wants to take you through it, but he wants to take you through it helping you, holding your hand, walking you through it, whatever's going on. So you've got this anointing, you've got this mantle, you've got this jacket on, this vestment from God to live your life. But if you never use it, listen to me, a raincoat does you no good if it's raining outside and you don't put it on. I mean, most of our raincoats have all deteriorated by now. I don't know why I came up with that example. We don't even know we have a raincoat, you know. It's all rotted. Your breast jacket isn't going to keep you warm if you don't put it on. So we come into this time of Elijah the prophet and his young servant starting out with him, Elisha. And we find this time that that Elijah's thrown his mantle on Elisha and he's brought him to this place. And now there's about to be a change. And 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 says, it came to pass that the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went down with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The first thing you got to understand is if you're going to walk in the supernatural power of God, you got to understand, you got to get determined in your heart. What do you want? Do you really want to be a Christian? Do you really want to walk as a man or a woman of God? Is that really what you desire? Because, folks, if you don't really know what you want in life and you're just kind of like every day being a chameleon, changing to whatever color you need to be for that situation, that's a difficult thing to do. If you're trying to be a man pleaser in life and you just want to, if you're with this crowd, you're like this, and if you're with this crowd, you're like this, and if you're with this crowd, you're like this, that's tough. Because you're trying to be all things to all people. And it never works. Like I said a while ago, I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to stand up and say that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's not just some religious thing. It's real to me. I know in whom I believe. And I know that he's going to be with me. And I know that no matter what comes down the road, I can stand up here this morning and say, whoo, Lord, we're going to go through it together. Good, bad, indifferent, it don't make any difference. Man, Jesus is with me. Why? Because I'm a pastor? No. Because I'm special? No. Because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Every one of you have the same promise. But you got to know what you want. You got to know what you're standing on, okay? And then, so the second thing I talked about was in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. It says, and so it was that when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha says, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Listen to me. This is one thing I've noticed in life. People that are hungry for Jesus, not crazy, hungry. All right? People that are hungry for Jesus, hungry for the things of God, always walk in blessing. If you're not hungry for God, and no, I said that jokingly a while ago because I knew I was coming to this point. If you were forced to come to church today, if you were shamed into coming to church today, well, you're not hungry for God. And you got a problem. And that problem's going to cost you. That's like Ernie sitting there. Man, when Ernie's cooking barbecue in town and you drive by, you may say, no, I'm not going to stop. And you smell it. You're like, you got to get some. And no way you're going to pass it. All right? When you go by it, you smell it. And then, you know, there's some of us who you know, you think about it. And you're like, I got to get to town. Get some barbecue before it's all sold out. Some of us even, you know, call him ahead of time. Say, hey, if you're cooking, man, set me some aside. I'm going to be there. But you see, you're hungry for something. You're going to go to great lengths to get it. If you're hungry for the things of God. You see, I want to know him. Because I do believe in God. I believe he is the creator of the heavens and earth and all therein. I believe he has the answers to life. And I believe he wants to have a relationship with us. And so therefore, I want to know him. I want to be in the inner circle. I want to be listening to what he has to say. I want to be reading my word and finding out things about God. But you got to be hungry. All right? You got to be hungry. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:7 that, you know, even to the hungry soul, every bitter thing's sweet. Doesn't make any difference. You just got to be hungry. Got to be hungry. So that was the second point. The third point was in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, it says, And then he said, ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, so it be so for you, but also for it shall not be, if you don't, it shall not be so. You got to keep your eyes on the prize, folks. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You've got to keep your eyes on what is important in life so that you don't get distracted. You don't get taken off. Don't get caught up in something and get off to in left field, because it's easy to do. You can be hungry for Jesus, and the next thing you know, you get off track and all you're doing is seeking signs. Jesus said there's always going to be people who want to seek signs. And they came just to see the miracles. He said, the people come over. He said, yeah, this crowd's here today because they're just seeking miracles. That's what he said. They weren't really seeking him. The prize is Jesus and knowing him. That's the high prize, is Jesus and knowing him. Not, oh, Lord, I just want to see you do something because you're excited about miracles. I love miracles. I love that we have a God that's alive and not dead and he's still serving miracles, right? Still doing miracles. But we got to keep our eyes on the prize. And so I'm going to jump around this morning because I know we have communion here and I don't want to take up all of our time. And so I'm going to skip around on my points. It'll all work out well because I just got one that I really want to get to you here this morning. So I'm kind of skipping, but you don't know that. Only I know that. And somebody may have to remind me. So it jumps down to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. It says, and he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, it was divided this way and that way. Now, that has got to be one of the coolest things in the Bible to see. My prayer is when we get to heaven, like we have this archive of, you know, like of DVDs that you can go put in, and you can actually see how it happened. That would be so cool. Actually see Moses parting the Red Sea. What did it really look like? I mean, we can imagine it, but I would like to see it, wouldn't y'all? I mean, this is one of the things I'd like to see. This guy having this mantle of Elijah and walking up to the water and saying, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And slapping it in the water, pops back. I mean, that is cool. Right? Well, this next point here about walking in this mantle anointing is simply this. If you're going to activate the anointing, you have to activate it by your confession. What you say out of your mouth. If you, listen folks, if you have I can't do it attitude, that's not activating the anointing. If you're going to turn the switch on for the supernatural power of God to flow in your life, God doesn't flow in negative. God doesn't flow in negative. God flows in positive. God flows in the confession of your mouth coming out of your mouth that God is with you and that he's going to do something. When you look at a situation, a problem that arises in your life, and you look at it and you say, oh, this is going to be bad. This is not going to be good. This is going to be rough. You're not activating the anointing. You're backing up because you're flowing in negative. Now, in this message, I want to just say this right before I go on any farther. There's been a lot of messages preached about things of this nature. But I'm not talking about being goofy. I'm not talking about not having a reality that there really is a problem. I'm talking about how you deal with it. Y'all with me? You can sit there and call, you know, you can call a dog a sheep all day long and it's not going to turn into a sheep. It's a dog. Y'all with me? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about goofy. I'm talking about your confession that's based off of what's written on your heart. The Bible says that you can take a pen and write on the tables of your heart what you really believe. Let me turn around this way. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. So if you want to know what's in your heart, what you truly believe, then listen to what comes out of your mouth. That'll tell you what's written on your heart. How do you write on your heart? You write on your heart by your faith and your confession. That's how you take a pen and write on your heart. is when you look yourself in the mirror and say, I do believe in Jesus. I am a child of God. I am born again. My sins are forgiven because I am washed in his blood. I am free. Jesus loves me. I love him. That you're making a confession in your mouth and you're writing that on the table of your heart. But what is on your heart is what comes out of your mouth all the time. What thoughts come to your mind of doubt and unbelief? All right? When Elijah went down there and he struck the waters, when Elisha struck the waters, he did what he saw Elijah do. He just mimicked it. How many times in the Bible you can find that Jesus said it and Paul said it, just do what I'm doing. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what he said. Just do what I'm doing. Follow my manner. Do what I'm doing, because if you do what he's doing, then you're going to be doing it. Now, none of us have this down perfect. Even myself, when I find myself under a new situation, stretched or stressed in a different way, sometimes things come out of my mouth that even I'm amazed at. I'm like, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I thought that. Somebody, somebody gets sick and you say, oh God, hope I don't get that. Or somebody gets sick and said, oh man, I saw him the other day, I bet I'm going to get sick. I said, well, that's just little things. Yeah, but it's what's on your heart. Folks, what's on your heart is what you're going to do and what you're going to believe in. If you believe you're weak, and that's what's coming out of your mouth, because you don't really know the Word of God, you don't feel like God's going to answer your prayers, if that's what's in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth, and in the middle of the fight, you're going to lose. Look at the person beside and say, I don't want to lose. You're going to be overtaken by worry. You're going to be overtaken by anxiety. Because inside of your heart is not faith. You don't have faith. Listen, it's okay not to have any faith in yourself. But you've got to have faith in Jesus. I look at all the time and say, Lord, you said, trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways acknowledge you and you're going to direct my paths. And so, Lord, right now I know I'll make the wrong decision. I know I'm going to do the wrong thing because that's the nature of Robert on the inside. But God, I'm trusting in you. You're going to help me make the right decision. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm leaning to your understanding. Lord, what do you want me to do? See, now you're speaking faith out of the abundance of your heart. Hello? Okay. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Do y'all good solid rock Christians in here, y'all believe the Bible's true? You can go to John 14 and Jesus said, ask what you will, ask in my name and the Father will give it to you. How are you going to get around that one? 1 John tells us that, 5:14 tells us that if you pray, that God hears your prayers, and then He's going to answer your prayers. Wait a minute. What are we going to do? Cut that one out? Say, well, I don't know. That's just if God's will, and sometimes He does, and sometimes He don't. You know, man makes a lot of excuses to try to put in place stops and fail-safes so that if they prayed something and they didn't see it instantly happen, that they can write it off over here and say, well, that must be why it didn't happen. Listen to me. You've got to understand something, folks. You're in a fight. You're in a war in this life. You might as well just understand it. You might as well just get battle gear on every day. You're in a battle. Whether the battle's going to come in your mind to put doubt and inject doubt and unbelief in you, whether the battle's going to come from people outside doing things to you, you're in a battle every day, and the battle is the devil wants your soul and God wants your soul. It's the truth. It's there. You can't get away from it. It's happening, whether you realize it or not. It's not fun. I wish I could tell you everything would be all rosy. I wish I could just give everybody some Kool-Aid and it would be okay. I wish I could, you know, I wish holy water worked. I wish anointing oil, I could get a 5-gallon bucket and just dunk you in it and everything would be okay in life and you'd never have a problem, you'd never have a trial, you'd never have a situation. But I would be lying to you. What I'm telling you is there is a God of the supernatural who wants to come into your natural life and He wants to help you through those problems if you would let Him. And if worry and anxiety, fear is gripping your life, then what you're doing is you're not doing it right. You're operating in the negative, not the positive. You're not letting the anointing that is on your life flow out of your life and destroy what the enemy's trying to destroy you with. Okay, it's dry right now. Again, you know, we got to see a little glory around here. And it rained after all these years of being in a drought. And it rained, and it got green, and it got so pretty. And man, everything got fat. And everything looked good, and then it quit raining. Now everything's burnt up. Now there's nothing looks pretty anymore. Now everything's dry. And the other day I was just saying, you know, Lord, I was talking to the Lord like this. I said, you know, like I'm not into, you know, I've got a few sheep out of my place, and I'm kind of embarrassed that I even have sheep, you know, but I do. And I was like, Lord, you know, if I could just pray all the time and you just keep it raining like this and I could just keep my little place looking like a paradise, you know, I'd never have to even have this conversation with you. It'd just be great. And the Lord said, didn't I always say you'd prosper? And I said, well, that's right. You said in Psalms 1, I'm always going to prosper. He said, no matter what I do, if I love you and I love your word, I'll always prosper. So he said, so then why are you talking to me about this? See, I was praying wrong. My prayer and my thought was, is I just wanted God, if He was really going to answer my prayer, He'd make my little property like an oasis. But the truth of the matter, He says, no, whether it's wet or dry, you're going to prosper. That's the attitude to take. No matter what the season is, just roll with the punches because it's all going to work out because I'm going to prosper you because that's what I said. If you love me and you love your word, I'm going to prosper you. And I was like, wow, that took a bunch of pressure off. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's supernatural. To have that thought and to get it placed in my heart so that I could quit worrying about something, that's supernatural. This is the simplicity I'm talking about in this message. But what did I do? I just took the mantle on my life and used it. So now my confession that comes out of my mouth is, Lord, I think I'm prospering. I'm prospering in everything. I'm prospering on the left. I'm prospering on the right. I'm prospering here, prospering here. I'm on going ahead. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm on top. No matter what's going on, no matter what situation throws at me, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to prosper. That's truth. But you got to write it on the table of your heart. And the only way you can write it on the table of your heart is you got to get your mouth changed. You got to start speaking and being like Abraham. Abraham looked at his body and said, this sucker's dead. Ain't nothing functioning. You got to be kidding me. I'm going to have a kid. I'm 100 years old. But he said, okay, Lord, what I'm going to say is, I just know what you told me, that I'm going to be a father of many nations. So I believe that what you said, you're able to perform it. Took all the pressure off Abraham. Took all the pressure off Sarah. He just said, I'm believing what your word says. I'm believing what your promise says. I'm standing on the promises. Right? I'm just going to stand on the promise and believe that you're able to perform it, even though I can't figure out how it could happen. That's what gets us into worry. That's what gets us into anxiety, is trying to figure out how God's going to make it happen. Oh, Lord, you've got to do this. And if, oh, Lord, if you could do this and then do that, and then this would happen, and then we'd do this over here, and then that would happen, and then we did this and that and this, and then that, whoop, then we'd be where we need to be. But that's not the way God works. He supernaturally wants to empower you to walk through whatever it is in life that you're walking through with wisdom and faith, hope, peace, so that when you come out on the other end of it, you're not crazy, distraught, torn up. You're able to just walk on. And say, Lord, I just thank you, man. I'm just fully convinced that if you promise it to me, well, then I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to prosper no matter what the situation looks like. Go to Numbers chapter 13. It's a great story. You need to go read it all. You saw that be out of your assignment today. Go read Numbers chapter 13, whole thing. But I want to pick it up in verse 17. Numbers 13, 17. And I'm finishing up here. It says, so Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Just think about this. Listen to me. This is a simple principle. I want to tell it to you first. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, right? They got out miraculously. God delivered the whole nation. They wandered around in the wilderness and they came to the promised land. Listen to me, the story isn't that they went in there and God wandered them for 40 years. No, they came up to the banks of the Jordan looking into the promised land. They're about to go in. They went from deliverance to about to go in. So in other words, you get saved. Yes, you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You confessed your sins to Him. You asked Him to come into your life. You got delivered. Now you're standing on the bank, and he's saying, I want you to go into the promised land that flows with milk and honey. I want you to walk supernatural. I want you to walk in this anointing. I want you to walk in the power of God. I want you to walk with this mantle on your life. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be a child of God. I want you to walk in power and authority to be blessed in everything that you are called to do in life. And you get your toes right to the river, and you're looking across, and oh, man. It's a good-looking country over there, Lord. So Moses said, let's send out some spies and let them go out there and look at the land. So they went out there and they looked. And they went in there. And it says that they went out there and they traveled for 40 days. And they came back. I'm just going to tell you the story. They came back and they had this cluster of grapes over their shoulders on a stick. Now, folks, these grapes must have been, it would have really looked stupid. Come on. You got to give me this one. It would look very stupid for two guys to be carrying a pole with a cluster of grapes on it like we have nowadays. That would have been silly. God would have said, why don't you just put them in your pocket and bring them? So if they got them on a stick, they got to be grapes. Y'all with me? I mean, they got to at least be softball size. They got them out there carrying this deal of grapes. To show what an abundance the land had, how great it was, how prosperous it was, how beautiful it was. And it says here, let me read it. Let me find it. It's coming up. Okay, here we go. I don't know what verse it is. But it says, now they departed and they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back the word to them. All the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, he said, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly is a land that flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Oh, God. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and among the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that had gone up and said, we're not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out. Throughout the land that they'd gone and spies, he says it devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw there are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs. Yeah, that's right. That was a true statement. Because they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. So they projected the image of grasshoppers to the giants. That was their thinking. That was their projection. It's the same thing with the devil. If you project to the devil, project to this world, project to the obstacles that come your way, that you are a grasshopper. And not, oh, grasshopper. Not that grasshopper. You're small in the eyes of this world. Listen to me. Frank, I want to use you as an example. Here sits Frank. We know Frank. We love Frank. But this man, because I know that he's a son of God, I know that he loves Jesus. Not because he's more special than any of us. I just know that he's a VIP because I've already preached to y'all. Y'all are all VIPs, very important people. This man can pray, and God Almighty hears his voice. Is he any more special than anybody else? No, but that's pretty impressive. Because so can you. 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 Open up your mouth and pray, and the Almighty God hears your voice. Yet you think of yourself as a grasshopper? I think of myself as a man who has inside channels. That I can go right straight to the biggest boss on the face of the earth and talk to him about whatever's going on. And so that if I'm talking to the biggest boss on the face of the earth, the God that created the heavens and the earth and all that are in, then whatever's underneath him has to change. What do I think of myself? All I know is, man, I am so blessed because I'm just this redneck cowboy that got saved and I got a voice with the King. And I'm thankful for it every day. I'm just saying, God, I'm just so thankful you didn't leave me in the pig pen. I'm so glad that when I came home, you got up off the porch and you rescued me. I'm so glad that you gave me this honor and this position to talk to you. I'm not talking about being a pastor. I'm talking about just a child of God that I can pray and he can hear my voice. What a privilege. I don't have grasshopper mentality in me. I've got thankful mentality in me that, Lord, I'm an idiot, and if it wouldn't have been for you, woo, I would have been smushed. Does it make me arrogant? No, it makes me humble because I know God is an amazing God, and what a privilege he gives me. And I don't want to lose it. And I'm not going to sacrifice anything for that position. I'm not going to give a bad report. I may give a report to God. Lord, it looks like there's some stormy waters ahead. Lord, it looks like the seas are rough. But you're the God who gives us promises. And so I just trust in your promise that you're able to perform it, no matter if it's a stormy sea or what. Grasshopper mentality can also be called yeah, but mentality. A yeah, but is a creature that is a Christian on the outside and a yeah, but on the inside. An alien form, life form, known as the yeah, but. Which whenever you go to a friend and you say, man, things are really looking bad, and they say, well, listen, God can help you in this. And then out of your mouth says, yeah, but you don't understand. If that comes out of your mouth on a frequent occasion, you need to be delivered from that alien demon living on the inside of you called the yeah, but. Because if you got a yeah, but on the inside of you, you're always going to undermine your faith, because you're going to be listening to the voice of the yeah, but. Again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if yeah, but comes out of your mouth on occasions, then all of a sudden you got to watch it, because that's what's written on the table of your heart. I believe in God. Yeah, but I don't know what may happen. You're hearing me? You don't want to be like those children of Israel, and they're standing right, I mean, they're up to the bank of the river. Their toes are in the water, and they're about to walk into the promises of God, the promised land, but they couldn't enter it because they couldn't get their confession right. You're not going to activate the anointing on your life. You're not going to see God supernaturally flow if you got yeah, but disease on the inside of you. You got to get it out. And you know how you get rid of yeah, but? First thing you do to get rid of yeah, but is you have to repent. Because what you've done is you've said God was not able to perform His promises for you. That the situations were too tough, things were too bad, God could not prosper you. And what you've said to God is an offense. You haven't trusted in Him. Now, you may have done it out of ignorance, done it out of lack of knowing what the promises are, but you still did it. You need to repent. Second thing you need to do is you need to then, if you're going to get rid of that and cast that thing out of you, is you need to find the area in your life that yeah, but rises, and then find the promise for that area and begin to speak that out of your mouth, confess that out of your mouth. Because faith comes through hearing, and hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 tells us. You only can have faith if you hear it. You know, I wish, like one time years ago when I was young in the Lord, I don't remember who was telling me this, somebody where I was just a young Christian, and they were telling me that it was good to get, this is the truth, I was told this, that if you could learn to sleep with your Bible under your pillow, that it would help you because you would learn the Word of God. This is what they told me. And that there was even in those days, there was a company, this is back in like the late 80s, that there was a company who made sheets and pillowcases that had Scripture written all over them. You slept on the Word of God, slept on the pillow. And I mean, they told me this and I was kind of like, okay, I mean, so I'm just going to absorb it? Like, unless I get the ink into my skin, I mean, I can't quite follow you on this. How could I be stronger knowing the Word of God by sleeping with the Bible under my head? Unless it put a crick in my neck and I couldn't sleep, so I got the Bible out and read it. I don't know how that will work. And the truth of the matter is, it won't work. Can't absorb the Word by just putting it on you. The only one way that faith comes into your heart is by hearing it. Faith is developed because you've got to hear it, right? You've got to speak it. You've got to write it on the table of your heart so that it comes out of your mouth. It's a simple principle God has for us. So the more yabbit that's coming out of your mouth, the more doubt and unbelief that's coming out of your mouth, the more negatives coming out of your mouth, then you have to fill that with the Word of God if you're going to activate this anointing. Because God doesn't move in doubt and unbelief. God moves in faith. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, get your mouth straight. Ladies, can y'all bring down the communion stuff, please? It's a great day to be taking communion because it gives you an ability to come into the front, to think about what in life, how many yabbits you've had, how many doubtful, unbelieving moments you've had, and to confess with your mouth your sin. I don't need to hear it. God does, though. Here in just a minute, when we come up here, do not come up and take communion as just a ritual of the church. Don't disgrace God by doing that. Right now, that's just a loaf of bread, and that is just some grape juice in a cup. That's all it is. There's nothing special about it. Miss Audrey poured it out of a bottle just a minute ago. The only thing special about it is that she made the loaf of bread, but she made it in love. But otherwise, it's just some bread and some juice. And it is so amazing to me that you can come up here, and we can hand you that piece of bread, and you can take that cup, and you can be standing right here. And if you're taking it as just a ritual of the church and it's just communion Sunday, you know, you're just going to eat a piece of bread and drink some juice, and that's it. Or you can take that bread in faith, knowing that the Bible promises us that Jesus said He was always going to be there for us, that He was there to be broken so that you could be mended. And you could take that piece of bread and you can, by faith in the promises, that what God had spoken, He was able to perform. That whatever your brokenness in life is, whatever your brokenheartedness in life is, whatever has discouraged you in life, whatever has broken you in life, that you could take that piece of bread by faith and supernatural anointing would activate in your body and God heal you. Wow. Wow. And that you could have just, you could have just tied one on last night. You could have just ripped through every disgraceful thing in the world and just send a storm. But yet you could take this cup here this morning because of God's amazing grace. And you could say, God, I'm really sorry for what I've done. I am sorry for my sins. I ask you to come and forgive me. I'm not asking for cheap grace this morning. I want to change. I want to be different. God, forgive me of my sins. And drink that little simple juice, but because of the faith that you believe, it turns into the blood of Jesus and washes your sins away. Wow. How powerful is faith? How powerful is this anointing I'm talking about? How powerful is this message to you today that God will supernaturally deliver you and set you free? And this is the perfect example of how, one of the examples of how He could do it. Your faith in what He said to do brings about the miracle. Amen? So get your hearts prepared. Get yourself in faith right now. Can I have my prayer team and pastoral team come up here and help me so I can serve y'all, to help me serve everyone else? And get your faith going this morning. that you're going to walk in a supernatural miracle here in just a second. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, now take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. So Lord, today we just take this loaf of bread. I know it's a simple loaf of bread. But Lord, by faith, we break it and we just thank you, Lord, for your broken body for us. That Lord, by that supernatural power of God, you heal us and you heal our broken hearts. Lord, and you touch our lives. And Lord, we praise you for it. And Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, that same night you took a cup. And you said, there's a new covenant. It's now written in my blood and poured out for all, that our sins could be forgiven. So Lord, we thank you for what this cup is. That it is, Lord God, the forgiveness of our sins according to your blood and your sacrifice on the cross for us. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.